Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Monday, April 15th. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith will be here momentarily, and we've got Brett Skalski, our Monday guest on the Ice Guys show, back with us after being away last week, and Mikey is back in the house once again for a Monday show, so we're happy to have a full house here on this Monday edition of the show. Let's get right into Sunday's recap very quickly. It was obviously a light slate, four games. We started with Seattle-St. Louis. Playing for exercise, final home game angle comes through as the St. Louis Blues get a 4-1 win against Seattle there. Colorado-Vegas, talk about just making sure it's not always what you bet, it's how you bet. And for me, that's made all the difference in the world with Colorado-Vegas, where I thought Colorado, you know, I thought they would start strong. They did. I actually thought they would win the game still. But I definitely was pretty confident in the fact that they would start strong yesterday. And it was just a beautiful first period. Swept the board in the first period of that at Golden Knights game with Colorado puck line. Colorado team totals over 1 and 1.5, both cashed, including the best bet on the show. The first period over. I mean, it was just an absolute tremendous result in the first period. Swept the board with that first period. What I didn't see happening was Colorado coughing up the lead. Once it got to 3-0, and I don't know, as alarming as the Winnipeg loss was, and that was alarming, I don't know, blowing a 3-0 lead, you know, that's pretty darn alarming too, going into that third period. So that was a very, very unfortunate loss for Colorado, and that just puts a bow on what was a brutal weekend for the Colorado Avalanche between the shit-kicking they took on home ice against Winnipeg, and then that third period collapse against Vegas last night. And all of a sudden, you know, the Avs Twitter is Adrian Dater, who says on Twitter that they're as pissed as they've been in a very long time and as concerned as they've been in a very long time. The defensive play, not good enough. The goaltending, not good enough right now, especially if you're going to hope to make a run in the NHL level. So I think when you look at this Colorado team, they've got some shit they got to figure out, some soul searching to do. You certainly are going to have to ramp up your game tenfold when the playoffs begin this weekend, if you're going to be able to beat the Winnipeg Jets and ultimately make that run deep into the playoffs that you hope to. So just a dreadful collapse by the Avs, but credit to the Golden Knights. They're never out of a game at home. They kept battling. They got that. Once they got on the board 3-1, that's really when the game turned. I mean, two shots on goal in the third period for Colorado. Wow. Just an absolutely dreadful ending to that game for the Avs. We saw Carolina get the job done against Chicago 4-2. It was a split for me. First period over falls short. Full game over, though, does get home. And Carolina gets the victory. A spirited effort from Chicago and certainly a solid start. And congrats to Frank Nazar for his first NHL goal in his first NHL game. That was definitely the highlight for Chicago. But Carolina put the clamps down in the third period, turned it up a notch, and Chicago couldn't match it. Turning a 2-1 deficit into a 4-2 win. And then crazy game, entertaining game for two teams playing for exercise and heading to the golf course come the weekend, Arizona and Calgary. That was a wild one. Back and forth, defense optional. And Calgary comes back multiple times from deficits to get the 6-5 win in that game. An unfortunate loss for me with Arizona. We did have the team total, though, at least with the Coyotes. And we did cash a ton of props in that game. Gunther, Josh Doan, the bargain bin special at plus 450 comes through. So it was still a pretty solid betting result for me overall with that game, other than the Arizona money line not getting home. But you could tell in that third period, fourth road game on this trip in six nights, kind of caught up with the Coyotes a little bit. They looked like they were running out of gas third period last night. And Calgary ends up coming back to get the win. Alex is with us now. Alex, what did you think of Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the Avalanche and Golden Knights game was obviously the big highlight. And like I said, this is a bad spot for Colorado now to be in, just having issues on the back end, having issues with goaltending, and now you're about to go into the belly of the beast to play this Winnipeg team. Like I said, embarrassed you 7-0 at home, and now you're going to have to go, you know, more than likely play games 1 and 2 in that spot. And make matters worse, Vegas, except they're still on the fringe. You know, it's a good win for Vegas, but I don't like what I'm seeing out of Vegas either heading in the playoffs right now. It's funny how these top-tier teams that we were so comfortable looking at in the middle of the season and after the All-Star break, like Colorado, like Vancouver, like Vegas, all of a sudden now kind of turn into these shaky teams at the absolute worst of times. So it's going to make things interesting, obviously, with, you know, we get, you know, 5 days away till the playoffs start and start looking up at series prices and different series things. Those are three teams that I'm more than likely, with. I mean, Vancouver, I already, you know, stock invested in with Western Conference and Stanley Cup Final, but Colorado, I've already said it, I'm looking to fade Colorado, and I think they lose that first round series. Vegas, I'm not sure if I'm going to be necessarily just fading them outright that they lose in the first round, but I'm more tempted to possibly bet against them or you know, start looking at some other different things. Certainly wouldn't be teams that I'd have circled for any kind of futures moving forward.
No doubt. Mikey, what did you think for Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame Colorado fans. I mean, it's been a brutal April. What are they, 2-5? Like you said, though, yesterday you knew they were going to come out guns blazing in the first period, but to get outshot 11-2, another team that blows a 3-0 lead. I understand if teams like a Columbus want to blow a 3-0 lead, but teams like the Avalanche should not be blowing a 3-0 lead and entering the final frame. So we'll see. Like the issue with Colorado has been goaltending. It's going to continue to be goaltending. I don't know what they're going to do with Gorgiev. I know Bednar gave the thumbs up to the media saying, I'm going with Gorgiev moving forward, just to probably give the guy some confidence. But how confident is Bednar starting Gorgiev in game one on the road in the Winnipeg whiteout? I mean, good luck to him. As far as the other games, Coyotes, I just want to say a shout out to them with all the craziness happening in the last few days for them to, even though they lost last night, they've been giving an A-plus effort the last handful of games. I mean, that whole story is crazy. It's a young team. These guys have houses and properties and investments in Arizona. Now you're shuffling your team, your wives, your girlfriends, your kids, and they're still all business-like. So I like that out of them.
No doubt. It absolutely is impressive. With everything that's been going around with the move to Utah, which is a question of when it becomes official, not if. Yeah, it's been impressive to see how they've competed well on this road trip. Brett, good to have you back after a couple weeks. How did the weekend go, and what did you think?
Yeah, it was a good weekend. I watched that Colorado-Vegas game last night, and I couldn't believe they blew that lead either. You got to be definitely need to be concerned going into that playoff series with Winnipeg. Other than that, really just looking forward to tonight and tomorrow's BetCast with this Eastern Conference playoff chase going nuts right now with all these teams still in the mix. So yeah, looking forward to that big time.
No question. It's going to be a fun BetCast tomorrow night. We'll promote it a little more later in the show. But just a reminder, it's a Patreon exclusive live BetCast tomorrow night. So if you want to tune in and you want to join us on the stream, the only way to do so is patreon.com/iceguys and become a Patreon member for just $10 per month. All right, the Monday card, we've got 8 games. And what a grouping of games we have at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We've got five games at 7 Eastern and then the one at 7:30. And all but Buffalo-Tampa doesn't have a whole lot on the line, but everything else, there's something on the line. And at 7 Eastern, we have Washington, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, and Detroit all battling for that final wild card spot. And in the case of the teams other than Detroit, also battling for the third spot in the Metro. They're all in action at the same time tonight. So what a night this is going to be. We're going to get a little bit more clarity, at least with the playoff picture. And we'll begin with Boston, Washington. Bruins -155 road favorites, 5.5 the total here in this game. I was rewarded with Washington Saturday against Tampa Bay. First period and full game money line split. First period, full game over, although I had more on the first period over in that game. Noting the Tampa first period over run, and obviously it's now 21-5. We'll get to that probably with their game later on. But no question about it, Washington, that was a team showing urgency, team showing desperation, solid victory for them against Tampa Bay. This is going to be a little bit more difficult. And for me, this is a little bit tougher to pull the trigger on Washington. At this price, I could only take Washington. This is a team that's playing for their season. I'm not fading them as a +135 home underdog. Simple as that. But this is not as easy for me to actually back Washington either, because you're playing a better defensive team. You're playing a team that's still got a lot to play for in Boston, trying to nail down the Atlantic Division. Florida's not totally out of the equation there yet as far as the division is concerned. And we just saw Boston and what they're capable of doing on the road against a team that desperately needs the win to keep their playoff hopes alive. They went into Pittsburgh, took care of business against the Penguins on Saturday night. So no, there's definitely, you can't put it past Boston that they can't do the same tonight here against Washington. We know Boston's still the better of these two teams, Washington fighting for their lives, but motivation-wise and the fact you're getting plus 135 as home dogs with Washington, I'm not fading them in a spot like this with the motivation supreme on their side. But I'm not as bullish on backing Washington here tonight like I was against Tampa Bay on Saturday. I think I'll sprinkle just a little bit on Washington, but nothing substantial. Other than that, maybe I could be talked into the draw potentially. This is one of those deals. Everyone's in their own race. Boston for the division doesn't have anything to do with Washington and vice versa. So this game could be cagey, could be competitive, could be tight. So I could make it. This is definitely a draw candidate, although there's other spots for that that I like more on this card. But definitely draw and Washington, the leans here for me. What do you think here, Alex? Bruins, Capitals.
I like this draw quite a bit. I grabbed plus 340 at FanDuel. Last meeting went past regulation. Go back to the meeting before that, and that was that crazy, just sloppy game that Boston played. It ended up being 3-0. That game could have easily been a 1-1 battle that just kind of coasted throughout. And then you go back to the 2-1 game before that. So we've seen tight battles between these two teams in recent memory. Like you said, Boston trying to get points to clinch the division, Washington trying to get points to secure that wild card berth. This game definitely feels like if it's 2-2, 3-3 late, any kind of tie, this will be slowing down and going past regulation. So plus 340, give me the draw.
All right, like the draw. I couldn't argue with that. Brett, what do you think here, Boston, Washington?
Well, the only thing I'm on right now is the draw as well. I think Washington, desperate for points. I hope they don't get it as a Flyers fan. I hope they don't get to overtime, but they're desperate for points, but Boston is the better team, and they're in their own race as well. So the only thing I'm going with here is a small play on the draw.
All right, small play on the draw. Yeah, this is definitely a draw situation that, makes sense. You know, Capitals are, Capitals in a tie game, they're not going to take too many chances. They just aren't. If it's tied late. And this is very much like what we saw with the Islanders on Saturday afternoon against the Rangers. Once that was 2-2 after Panarin tied it, it was just, okay, guys, let's take it down here a little bit and let's make sure we at least get the points secured and solidified. And that's the approach this game might take, especially from the Washington perspective, if it's tied late in the third. Mikey, what do you think here? Your Bruins against Washington.
Yeah, so each team, they have two games left. If the Bruins secure the division, their gift is they get to face Tampa. So that's awesome. It's hard to truly figure out what this team wants besides wanting to play good hockey heading into the playoffs. The month of April has been great. It's been a great test for Boston. The first week, they faced a desperate Nashville team trying to secure their own playoff spot. The three games after that, it was Carolina, Florida, Carolina again. A couple days ago, they headed to the Igloo to face another desperate team trying to secure a playoff spot. And the Bruins are 4-1 this month. They seem to have matched the intensity of its desperate opponents for the most part. I mean, Washington may not be as a tough test compared to what they faced in the last couple weeks, but it's still another desperate team in and out of the last playoff spot. In my opinion, the only way Boston loses this game is if they're uninterested. So Washington, if Washington is able to score three or four goals and Lindgren stands on his head, that's the recipe for a Washington victory. Washington may have to, even though Washington scored four against Tampa, prior to that, two goals or less in eight straight. There were some teams in the mix, like the Buffaloes, where they should have scored way more than two goals. So a part of me wants to back Washington at a nice plus money price, but it's just hard to know Boston's mindset heading into the last two games. Personally, deep down, and this is just my opinion, I don't think they want anything to do with the President's Trophy. I mean, I could be wrong, but you also can't play Russian roulette and try and force yourself to face a particular team. Both options aren't great. You're either facing Toronto or Tampa. I know they've had their luck with Toronto, but I'm sure they would rather face Toronto than Tampa. But This is a tough choice. Deep down, I want to take a shot with Washington. Just the way Boston's played in April, I mean, they're matching other teams' intensities. I don't think I want to go against them right now.
Yeah, I mean, Boston, this is one of those games. Boston can win. Washington can win. Nothing would shock me. Nothing. Nothing at all would shock me here. Regulation, draw, overtime, nothing would shock me here. Because Boston's good at Boston's better than Washington. They just are. And there's still that nugget of the Atlantic Division that could have them, you know, ready to play. And if they play well, they're probably got a good chance to beat Washington. Why? Because they're better than Washington. But if just that little extra drive tonight for those loose puck battles isn't there for Boston, and it's clearly going to be there for Washington because their season's on the line, then that opens the door for the Capitals. And we have seen the Capitals play them tough here in the past. So, like I said, I think I'll probably sprinkle just a little small, tiny bet on Washington. I felt better about Washington Saturday against Tampa Bay than I do tonight. But it'll be a small bet on Washington, and I'll grab a little piece of the draw here as well. I'm a little leery of the total. I know 5.5, I want to jump on an over usually, but I don't know about this game. Washington's going to play pretty tight here. I know the Tampa game was a good over game, I thought. I'm not so sure about this one. You know, I could see this one being a little bit of a cagey affair. Swayman and Lindgren, by the way, confirmed as your goalies. For props, I like Zacha and I like Heinen for Boston. Zacha's been very good, piling up points, scoring goals. And Danton Heinen, I mean, comeback player of the year for Boston. That's the team's Masterton Trophy nominee this year. Danton Heinen for a great bounce back year. And then for Washington, I mean, I'd go Ovechkin. Maybe throw a couple bucks on. He's starting to heat up again. Sonny Milano maybe for the Washington Capitals, who's gone in and out of hot streaks this year. All right, another team battling for playoff positioning, although they're in a much better spot. Third in the Metro, 90 points, and could really take a big step forward to clinching a playoff spot tonight with a win against the New Jersey Devils, and that is the New York Islanders, who are -120 road favorites, 6 the total here in this game. We'll see how this one goes. The Islanders, one thing we know, and we saw it with the Rangers, you know, with Montreal last week when the Islanders played in that game. They don't make it easy, okay? They rarely do things very, very easily and make it a nice, comfortable night, relaxing night for their fan base. It's just rarely the case with them. Even the 2-0 win, you know, last weekend against Nashville, that was a tight game all the way. That's probably what this one will be, even though New Jersey is kind of playing out the string. They've shut down Jack Hughes, as we've talked about, for the rest of the season. You know, you would think there's this gap in motivation right now, and certainly gap in terms of the quality of these two teams. New Jersey's been pretty bad here down the stretch, just 2-6 in their last 8 games. But when you look at New Jersey here going into this one, this is their final game of the season, their final home game as well of the season. And this is a division rival. Doesn't the Devils, for one night, don't the Devils want to step up and try to play spoiler? You would think there's going to be that onus to do that here in this game. They were good enough to beat Toronto, although, as I said, after the recap of that game on Friday, a lot of it was Toronto's the author of their own demise. They had a terrible defense again. They almost gift-wrapped the game for New Jersey. So I didn't want to give New Jersey too much credit for that. But I think, you know, when it's all said and done, I think New Jersey's going to put up a battle, but obviously I'm still not taking New Jersey. The Islanders have found ways to win. Wouldn't shock me if they find ways to win, and it really wouldn't shock me if they find a way to win beyond regulation. Give me the draw. We're going back to the draw island. Give me those Islanders one more time. Draw and back-to-back games has hit in New York Islanders games. 2 straight games have gone past regulation against Montreal and the New York Rangers. Why not a third straight here? And again, if this is tied late in the third, no screwing around. Patrick Waugh is going to say, you don't fucking dare turn that puck over in the neutral zone. You don't dare turn that puck over in the offensive zone and give them a late odd man rush in the dying minutes and just blow a point that you have if the game goes to overtime. Smart, safe hockey. If it's tied late in the third, chip and chase, get the puck in deep, change your lines, get the next group out, and just make sure you get the point secured. That's the way it's going to be done if this game's close late. So draw for me here in this one. It's the Islander way. Won't be easy. It'll be a hard attack and a half for the fan base, but they'll go to overtime, and who knows who will win it, but I think they'll probably find a way to win it, the Islanders, in overtime. I'm not going to lay a buck 20 to find out. give me the draw here in this one. Alex, Islanders, Devils.
So I grabbed minus $1.10 this morning. That was pretty much my cutoff. And I was looking for hoping maybe we find plus money just off of the fact, yes, the Devils are completely out of it, but the fact they've won the last three meetings, I thought maybe we would see some money come their way. Like I said, that kind of spoiler spot look. And who's to say that, you know, they might take some money later, but I think Islanders find a way to win, but I'm also on the draw as well. Shop around. 340 at FanDuel is the best price I'm seeing. I am seeing 325 at BetOnline. This is a game that I definitely could see where some books, namely BetMGM, would probably have this one below plus 300, which is something we're not looking for. We always want to get plus 300 or better when betting the draw here. So Isles, Devils, I like the Isles to win this one, but I'm also on the draw as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely I lean Isles as far as the side goes. I do think they'll find a way. I just don't think it'll be easy for them, and I think it's got a great chance to go past regulation. And I don't think New Jersey's quitting on this game. I think this is one game where I think New Jersey's going to give it their best and see where it gets them. It's their final home game, final game overall, but final home game. And I can give you how many examples now of the non-playoff teams that have won that final home game. Buffalo, St. Louis yesterday. There's another. Chicago didn't, but I thought Chicago's effort was still pretty good, you know, against Carolina. That wasn't a we sucked, we mailed it in, we didn't care. No, that was just Carolina's really damn good. You know, Chicago did bring a good effort, I thought, yesterday. But Buffalo won their final home game as a non-playoff team. St. Louis won their final home game as a non-playoff team. Ottawa won their final home game as a non-playoff team. There is that incentive to just let's send the fans out home this season with a good effort, a hard effort, a good performance, regardless of a win or a loss, come to play, show up, bring your best. And I just think we'll see that from New Jersey tonight. What do you think here, Brett? Islanders, Devils?
Yeah, the only thing I'm on is, like Alex said, the Islanders money line. They win tonight at all. They've clinched their playoffs. So I think the motivation is there for them. The Devils are 0-4 in their last home playoff games. And we know with the Devils, they kind of have that love-hate relationship with their home building, their home fans. I'm not sure how much they even care about this last home playoff game. They probably do, but, I mean, the team's shut Hughes down. I don't know what the motivation is for them, even being home for the last game. So I'm on Islanders minus 110 to clinch playoff spot tonight.
All right, Islanders as well for Brett with this one against the Devils. Yeah, I should point out, too, with the Boston-Washington game, Boston just needs a win in any fashion. They're Atlantic Division champs tonight, and in this game, the Islanders just need a win in any fashion. Doesn't matter. Regulation, overtime, shootout, whatever the case, a win gets them in the playoffs. What do you think here, Mikey? New York Islanders, New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, so I was wondering what the New Jersey motivation is as well. I mean, look at last year. They make the playoffs. They're down 0-2 in round one against the Rangers. They come back and win that series before they get blown out by Carolina. And now Hughes isn't available. They're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, their coach got fired not too long ago. But then you bring up the whole last home game, and it's a division rival. So that does have meaning. And it's something that's been happening for several years with the last home game of the season for non-playoff teams. But besides that, I mean, the price has finally gone up a little on the Islanders. They were pretty much a pick 'em this morning, and that's where I grabbed them at. Like Alex said, I got them at minus 110. Now you're seeing them in the mid-120s. I didn't understand the line at first. Even if New Jersey has had their number this year, they've beaten them all three meetings. They've scored at least four goals. You have a hot Islanders team needing another point or two to secure a playoff spot. And that looked non-existent for about 10 days in March, in the middle of March. I mean, no one thought they were going to make the playoffs. Now they're 6-0-1 in April, the only loss coming this past weekend in a shootout to the Rangers. So Isles, they did lose all three to New Jersey this season. As recently as a couple weeks ago, the Islanders got blanked at home 4-0 by New Jersey. So I'm going with the Islanders here. The price is right. They're the better team. The motivation's there. I mean, to $1.10 for this Islanders team, it seems a little bit too good, but I'm on it. Islanders money line, 110.
I think Ian might be frozen. I'm not sure. We'll probably see him pop back up in a minute. but I'm not sure what game he wants to switch to next. Let's see, let's go back to rotation or wait for him to get back in. Pretty sure Nashville Pittsburgh will be the next game that we'll be talking about. So which that's of course a huge game. Getting you back?
Yep, we're back. But good stuff, guys, on that game. Yeah, Palmieri, Horvat, Nelson, maybe. He's starting to heat. I know he had a big day against the Rangers on Saturday. But definitely as far as props go, I'd be looking in that direction for sure. And then when you look at the situation here, you look at the Devils. There's not a lot of props, actually, that stand out to me with the Devils. I think they're going to have a strong effort tonight, but we'll see on that. What do you think? Next up, Nashville-Pittsburgh. We've got, obviously, big stakes here for the Penguins. They lost control of their playoff destiny on Saturday, which was not kind to the Pittsburgh Penguins, where all the teams are battling with one, and they're the only people that lost on Saturday. So that was an unfortunate Saturday for them. -110, even money, both sides, 6 the total here in this game. Of course, and by the way, I should point out for Washington, I forgot to mention this, Jensen and Sandin on their blue line are both out tonight. Jensen with the scary collision on Saturday against Tampa. So they're a little short-handed on the blue line. And in this game, there's a couple of there were some injury concerns here for the Pittsburgh Penguins going into this game. I know Lars Eller, Chris Letang, their status for the game initially was called into question just a little bit for this one. But it looks like both of them are going to be good to go. They're in the lineup. It's still just Achari, Graves, Harkins, Nieto on the injury report tonight for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Nashville pretty much fully healthy outside of Carrier, the defenseman, who's been out for a period of time. UC Saros confirmed in net for the Nashville Predators in this game tonight. And it'll be, and this was a big decision for Mike Sullivan because he's clearly gassed. He's clearly been overworked. This is how many starts in a row, 12 or 13 starts in a row now for Alex Nedeljkovic. And you can see in the last few, he has not been as good. He has not been as sharp. He's struggled. He's been giving up 4 or 5 goals routinely here in these last few games. But they've clearly got zero confidence anymore in Tristan Jarry, and I can't blame them. I really can't. They pulled Nedeljkovic against Boston on Saturday. Jarry comes in, he gives up a goal on the first fucking shot he faces. I mean, so it's just very, very difficult right now for this Penguins team and Mike Sullivan to have confidence in Jarry at this point. So even though Nedeljkovic has had a heavy workload, I think he's fatigued. I think he's tired. He needs a break. He's allowed 15 goals in his last 4 games combined. They really are. He's stuck. He is stuck because he knows if I put Jarry in there and he shits the bed and he's had a rough run for Pittsburgh in net, I'm not going to hear the end of it. Where at least with Nedeljkovic, his run 5-0-1 to start this stretch of games that he got in there consecutively is what gave us this chance to be back into the playoff mix. So he's in a brutal spot. He's almost like in a lose-lose either way. Jari's got there's no confidence in him right now at all, but Nedeljkovic is definitely leaking oil right now and struggling, and he's tired right now for this team. But they're going to go back to him and just hope for the best. We'll see how it goes. Look, I took Pittsburgh against Boston, and they lost. I have a hard time trusting them again here. I'm not betting against them. They obviously need this game, and I'm not going against that at home, where they've been pretty good prior to the Boston loss. But Nashville's not totally they don't have zero to play for, Nashville. They obviously don't have the stakes in this game that Pittsburgh does. But I think there is that element that, they're sitting 3 points ahead of Vegas, try to stay ahead of them with just this final game. And this is their final game of the season, by the way, Nashville. They won't say it publicly, but in that dressing room, you're thinking, we'll take our chances. We'd rather take our chances with Vancouver in the first round right now than the mighty Dallas Stars. So I think from that standpoint, stay in that first wild card spot, final game of the season, they're going to be off now until the weekend. So it's not like they need to rest and, load management and all that. No, you leave everything out there tonight. You're not going to play again till the weekend when the playoffs start. So I think Nashville's bringing a good effort tonight here in this game, even though obviously the 2 points are much more vital for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I would definitely lean to the draw here again. I hate to be repetitive, but the draw is of consideration for me here in this game. I do want to point out with Saros for the Nashville Predators, he has given up 4 goals in back-to-back starts coming into tonight. He gave up four against Winnipeg, where they lost to the Jets at home in overtime. And he gave up four goals against Columbus, believe it or not, on the weekend. Now, they were up big. I think a product of it was Nashville was kind of sitting back. But nevertheless, he hasn't been nearly as sharp the last two games. So I'm on the draw a little bit. But what I really like here, give me the over bifecta. Over 1.5 first period, especially the full game over. I think Pittsburgh's a dead nuts over team right now. They can score. Crosby's been great. Letang's been great. Malkin's been great. Carlson's stepping up. Bunting's been amazing. Raquel. Drew O'Connor, and we'll get to him in a moment. He's been awesome for the Penguins as well. Like, their offense is fine right now. They're scoring. They're doing enough offensively to win these games. But right now, their defense is still suspect. We saw against Detroit, they won a shootout 6-5. We saw against Boston, another game where they got lit up, gave up five goals. And Nedeljkovic, like I say, his play has declined as the workload has increased. So I don't know if they're shutting Nashville down. I could see Nashville scoring. And, you know, you look at this game for Pittsburgh, I could definitely see them scoring as well, because that's what they do at home. They score goals, and I think with Nashville, they've been prone to give some up here in the last few games down the stretch. So definitely like the over bifecta in particular here in this Predators-Penguins game. Alex, what do you think here, Nashville-Pittsburgh?
I'll be looking at both of those overs as well, but looking for them in game. I think we'll be able to – I think because of the fact that this is such a big game still for Pittsburgh, I think they try to slow things down a little bit early. And like I said, Nashville, not much to play for. Maybe they just kind of take things slow in the majority of the game, potentially. So I think we'll have time to grab plus money on the first period over, grab 5.5 at a better adjusted price for that full game over. And then we see things start to open up as we get deeper into the contest. There is a player prop that I will be talking about later on in the bargain bin with this contest.
Yep, no doubt. There's some good player props, certainly for Pittsburgh. Bunting, yes. Crosby over 1.5 points, Bunting to score a goal, Bunting, you know, point or even go one step further over 1.5 points. And yes, Drew O'Connor, who's been great. There's just all kinds of great options here as far as props for Pittsburgh. And for Nashville, look, Pittsburgh's desperate. They need the game. But again, if they're going to win, they're going to probably win by scoring goals, and they could still give up some because right now their defense and their goaltending is suspect. So I think with Philip Forsberg, who needs a hat trick tonight, he needs to score three and get a hat trick to hit 50 goals. And it would be only the second time in NHL history a player from Sweden has had 50 goals in a season in the NHL. He wants that mark. He's friends with our guy, Eric De La Rose, and apparently he's told Eric that, I'm trying to get that 50-goal season. So everything Forsberg tonight. And do the shots on goal ladder with Forsberg tonight as well. You know, it's worth a shot here to go over, you know, not just a standard shots on goal number, which I think is 4.5, but, you know, go over 5.5, go over 6.5, go over 7.5. I did that with Austin Matthews Saturday, and we got all the way to 10 shots on goal with him on Saturday as he was trying to get to the 70 goal mark in that game. I think you can take that same strategy here tonight with Philip Forsberg with the shots on goal ladders involving him tonight in this game. What do you think here in this one, Brett, Nashville, Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I'm on the draw as well. Small play. I have not yet pulled the trigger on the over, first period over or full game over, but I've got it jotted down to dig a little deeper into. I'm on Nashville money line. I got it when it first opened at plus 112. I think Pittsburgh, like you alluded to with Nedeljkovic, he's just running out of gas. I mean, their last, you know, couple games here, they've given up 6 goals, 5 goals, 3 goals, 4 goals. He's clearly out of gas. So I'm on Nashville money line. I know you said Suarez as well has given up 4 goals in the last 2 games each, but I trust him to bounce back more than Nedeljkovic right now and kind of close that door and limit Pittsburgh scoring, albeit the more desperate team. The other thing that I'm on, and I think this is my favorite one from this game, is Nashville over 2.5 team total. I got it at minus 130 this morning on ESPN.
All right, there you go, Pittsburgh. There's no Flyers bias in that bet, is there? I'm kidding.
A little bit.
Gotta ask.
A little bit.
I gotta ask. That's all right.
A little bit.
Matt does the bets with love. And, you know, many times. So it's all right. It's all good.
Hey, I took the draw, so I'll give him a point. I'll give him a point.
Yeah. what do you think here, Mikey? Nashville, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Nashville's last game of the season. They lead Vegas by 3 points. So Vegas can still catch them. At first, I thought we'll see if Nashville rests anyone. But with it being the last game and it's on a Monday, they have, what, at least 5-6 days off coming up. So I don't think they're going to rest anyone. Nashville was plus 110 this morning. Now it's pretty much a pick 'em on both sides, minus 110. I'm seeing in a couple books. So it was hard to ignore a plus price on Nashville, but now that it's a pick 'em, I do think Nashville has come back down to earth a little bit, especially in the month of April. They are 4-3. They pretty much alternated wins and losses before their last two games where they beat Columbus and Chicago. They've clinched a playoff spot. And I just don't think their intensity level is going to be on the same level as Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was minus 130, like I said, now minus 110. So money has come in on Nashville. Is it because Eller and Letang missed morning skate? But they're both available for tonight. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I don't think so. But Saros is between the pipes, like you said. 8 goals allowed last 2 starts. 3-plus goals allowed, 5 of his last 7. Like Brett said, out of the 2 goalies, who do I trust more to bounce back? Of course, Saros. So the Preds want Saros to form into the Saros they know before the playoffs. The series history doesn't back it, but this could be a sneaky over 6. We saw Boston-Pittsburgh, what was it, a scoreless first period, then 5-6 goals in the second. I think this can easily go over 6. Both are on mini overruns, 6-4 in the last 10. So besides the over 6, I'm on Pittsburgh minus 1 plus 135. You can get Pittsburgh on the money line minus 110 now, but I did lock in Pens minus 1 plus 135. I think they find a way to get it done tonight as well as the over 6.
All right, there we go. Pittsburgh and over for Mikey with the Predators and the Penguins. Like I say, it's a great game. Yeah, O'Reilly's been great for Nashville. Like I say, and they're going to look. The one thing that concerns me about Nashville when they get into that first round series is so much is on Forsberg and O'Reilly offensively. Evangeliste has actually stepped up too, but and Novak, I would put him in there. But after that quartet, you know, are they going to get, you know, your key for Sherwoods and some of these other, you know, depth forwards to help those guys out? Because, you know, in the playoffs, tighter checking, not as much room and space, time and space out there. What if your top guys are shut down? Where do you turn to if you're Nashville for offense? So that's going to be something to monitor, no question, once we get into the playoffs. But looking forward to that game. Should be an interesting one, no question about it, with the Predators and the Penguins. All right, next up, we've got the Montreal Canadiens, or sorry, no, Buffalo-Tampa Bay first. See, I'm so excited about Montreal-Detroit playing too. Got to go to Buffalo-Tampa Bay first. We've got Tampa Bay minus 170, home favorites in this game, 6 the total across the board for the Tampa Bay Lightning. This is not their final home game. They play Toronto on Wednesday night. That's going to be their final home game. But nevertheless, playoff team, so it's not quite as pertinent that particular angle. Valiant effort from Buffalo against Florida, even though they're finishing out the string and finishing out the season on the road. Took the Panthers to overtime, but they lost, and it was their old former teammate, Sam Reinhart, that did them in overtime, getting the overtime winner for the 3-2 win for Florida against Buffalo on Saturday, but it was a pretty good effort from them in that game. Tampa Bay has already confirmed Vasilevsky as the starting goaltender in net for them here in this game. Buffalo will go with Eric Comrie here in this game, giving UPL a bit of a break. Eric Comrie has not started since March the 7th against Nashville. He gave up 4 goals in that game, so it's been over a month since we've seen Eric Comrie. 1-7, 3.91 goals against average, .864 save percentage for him this season. So tough spot, because Tampa Bay, the one thing they're trying to do, I think, is get Kucherov every point known to man to try to solidify and at least try to further his case for the Hart Trophy. So that's probably definitely prop-wise the favorite look is Kucherov, and not just over 1.5 points. I'm going over 2.5 points, you know, to get 3 points in this game, a Buffalo team that can certainly give up goals at times, and especially you see Eric Comrie's numbers. He's given up nearly 4 goals per game on average. So it's probably an opportunity for Kucherov to get at least 3 points here in this game tonight against the Sabres. As far as the side, nothing on the side for me. Tampa probably should win, although you could maybe talk me into a Lightning team total over here in this game. But what I like the most, you know what it is, 21-5 in the last 26 Tampa Bay games. That's the first period over. 21-5 in the last 26 games for the Lightning. Cashed again against Washington on Saturday. First period over. Minus 120 at Bet Online. It's as cheap as minus 120 in some spots. I'm a little bit mystified. And the money's poured in on the under here because the full game total went from 6.5 to 6. The juice on the over 1.5's gone down. I truly don't get it, especially when it comes to the first period total. I think we see at least 2 goals. What about that Buffalo first period against Florida on Saturday? 4 goals in the first period, 2-2, and then there was nothing after that for the rest of regulation. So love the first period over. I'm going to have the full game over in pocket too, but not as much as I have the first period over. That is the one I really like here because it could be like that game again where you get 2-1, 2-2 early and then slows down after that. I am on the full game over, but I definitely like the first period over even more here in this game. Alex, Buffalo, Tampa Bay.
I really love this first period over. Like I said, I grabbed it at $1.20 this morning, and then I went and grabbed a little bit more at $1.25 when it did move at one point. Not only do you have the 21-5 run for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but if you look at this series history, 10 straight first period overs, 16-3 the last 19 meetings for the first period over between these two teams. And then, of course, we had Amazon delivery driver Eric Comrie in net as well. Give me the first period over here.
Poor guy. Yeah, but you know what? It's unfortunate because he's actually been decent in times in the past. He had some nice little stints there in Winnipeg, but here with Buffalo this year, I mean, the stats don't lie. You know, 1-7, you know, and that goals against average approaching 4. So it's been a tough season here for Eric Comrie, the times he has been in between the pipes here for the Sabres this year. Brett, what do you think here? Sabres Lightning.
Yep, the only thing I'm on, we all know Tampa Bay can pour it on offensively at home. I think, you know, while they might not have anything to play for standings-wise, playoff seeding-wise, the motivation's there for some of their players to hit offensive milestones. That with them at home, where they can score, combined with, as Alex said, the Amazon driver, Eric Comrie, I just have Tampa Bay team total over 3.5 at +110.
Good stuff there as well. Tampa Bay team total, which I like over 3.5 as well. Mikey, how about you? Buffalo, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I was interested in possibly taking a shot with Buffalo, who always seems to play Tampa tough. But once I saw Comrie confirmed between the pipes, that's not happening, even if you're getting a nice plus money price on them. Buffalo has beaten Tampa 4 out of the last 5 meetings, believe it or not. And generally, this should be a prime time fade spot for Tampa. Clinched a playoff spot last couple games of the regular season. But they've lost 2 in a row, and you don't want to lose 3 in a row, 4 in a row heading into the playoffs. So I think Tampa gets it done. But I'm just not sure I want to lay this price, even though it's really not too bad for Tampa. So I have nothing on this, but I'm going to tell you guys on that first period over.
Good stuff there. As far as props go, I'm going to go a little heavier on this tonight. Steven Stamkos goal prop for Tampa Bay. 40 is what he can hit with one more goal, 40-goal season. And I think he's on a string of 40-goal seasons as well. He wants to keep that intact. So, yeah, Steven Stamkos for sure. He's at 39. He just needs one more. And look, he's got another game to get it if he doesn't score tonight, because they play Toronto on Wednesday night. But why leave it to chance? You got a Buffalo team coming in here with Eric Comrie in net. You got an opportunity to get that 40th goal tonight. Why don't you take it if you're Steven Stamkos? So definitely that's makes some sense here for me tonight as far as a goal prop, the one I like the most on the Tampa Bay side of the equation. All right, we move along. Now we're going to talk about Montreal and Detroit. This is the first of a home-and-home series tonight and tomorrow. Back to back tonight, they're in the Motor City, and then they go to La Belle Provence in Montreal tomorrow night. The same two teams, and they do battle once again here tonight in Detroit. Red Wings -230 home favorites in this game, 6.5 being the total in this matchup. Montreal continues to, you know, down the stretch for Marty St. Louis, play hard, play with effort, play with, you know, passion, want to put a good foot forward here down the stretch. You know, this has been a competitive Canadiens team here down the stretch. They beat Philadelphia handily 9-3 on the road here these last two games against the Islanders, who need the points desperately. They got that game to overtime, lost 3-2. Ottawa, last home game, so there was incentive for the Senators. They lose Montreal, but in a shootout, 5-4. Again, very competitive. And it wouldn't shock me if they give Detroit a battle here. Now, will they win the game? I'm not so sure. But definitely, I think they could give Detroit a battle. The one thing that's concerning right now about Detroit laying a number like this and a price like this is their goaltending. You know, Reimer didn't play great against Toronto, even though they won. They scored enough for him, and that's why they won that game. And as we've talked about with Alex Lyon, he's kind of going through the Alex Nedeljkovic syndrome. He's been worked a ton. He hasn't been as sharp the last couple times he's been in net. The last time he started against Pittsburgh, you know, he gives up 6 goals in that game. So, you know, how much gas is left in his tank right now if you're Alex Lyon? And he has been confirmed in net here tonight for the Detroit Red Wings in this game. I'm on the over here, 6.5, because I just think if Detroit's going to win, they're going to score, and they're probably going to give up goals, because I just think this defense and this goaltending is vulnerable right now. But I'm only going to go to the full game over here. I'm staying off the first period stuff. This could be a game, actually, just in my mind, the way I've got the game flow in my mind, where how it could turn out tonight, where we could actually see a slow start, and then the goals start to explode second period, third period, and beyond. So I do like the over 6.5 a little bit. And this is a game I'm going to sprinkle on the draw as well. Because, look, I don't think it's going to be easy for Detroit, because I just don't know if they're defending well enough. And I know their goaltending is shaky enough where Montreal can be right in this hockey game. And then you add on the fact that from a series history standpoint, 5 of the last 7, that's right, 5 of the last 7 head-to-head meetings between the Canadiens and the Red Wings have gone past regulation. So we have seen a lot of overtime and shootout head-to-head with these two teams in recent meetings. So over 6.5 in the draw for yours truly on this one. What do you think here, Alex? Montreal, Detroit?
Yeah, just strictly the draw. I've seen it at the highest price, $390 at FanDuel. I've seen some $350s, $355s elsewhere. So definitely shop around and get the best price available with that. Like I said, 5 of the last 7 meetings going past regulation. Montreal back-to-back games going back past regulation. So they're playing tough, playing heavy. That they understand how badly Detroit needs this game, along with some other things as well. And don't think, you know, Detroit, they'll be scoreboard watching. That's something we have to talk about with all these games starting.
Detroit right back-to-back past regulation as well. Toronto right. And Pittsburgh games.
That's
yep.
Right. Yeah, and that's something we have to talk about with all these games starting at 7 Eastern. There's going to be scoreboard watching. So we might see some crazy things potentially happen late in games. You know, if Detroit knows, you know, we might see like Detroit pull a goalie, you know, a little earlier, do something kind of crazy in that aspect. Because I think goal differential is one of the tiebreakers in that kind of later spot. That someone was bringing that up, that a goal differential could be a tiebreaker involving Detroit and another team. As far as I think Washington, as far as a wild card spot goes, so we could see some goofiness like that that might throw off some of the plans. But I still like the series history here enough to roll with it.
Yeah, no, I think it's regulation wins first tiebreaker, regulation and overtime wins second tiebreaker. Right. And then after that, I think they go to goal differential. Yeah, right. I think that's the order
of tiebreakers. And because, Caps and Wings have been close to regulation wins, I think there's just been a little bit of mention to that third tiebreaker.
I noticed that's the reason why Pittsburgh's not out of this yet, even though they're out, right? They're 1 point behind Washington right now. They have the regulation wins tiebreaker pretty much over everybody, the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, you know, that's why if, you know, they're going to win some of these tiebreakers if they end up tied in points after game 82. So that's why if you're Pittsburgh, you know, while it was a bad Saturday for you, you're still very much alive in this. And a big part of the reason why is because you own the tiebreaker edge over a lot of the other teams you're battling with. Brett, what do you think here? Montreal, Detroit?
Not the Flyers. They don't. Just want to throw that out there. Yeah, I'm definitely on the draw. I think out of these last two games, right, Detroit, Montreal are playing the last two games against each other. Not both of these games are going to be blowouts one way or the other. One of these two games is going to go to a draw. So I'll be playing draw on both matchups. with this potentially being the last game at Little Caesars Arena this season, I think there is obviously the motivation for the playoffs, the motivation for the home fans. So the only other thing I'm on is the Detroit team total. I got a nice minus 110 price early this morning.
Good stuff there. Mikey, how about you, Red Wings and Canadians?
Yeah, I want to back Detroit, just not at this price. Montreal, they pretty much bring it every night. Not many nights off for this team with Marty St. Louis behind the bench. It's just nuts to pay minus 230 for a team that's 3-7 in their last 10 games. Those wins came against Toronto, needing overtime, Buffalo, and Tampa. I tried to go back and see the last convincing win for Detroit, possibly March 21st against the Islanders. It was 6-3. You just can't trust this team with any lead. Doesn't matter. 3-0, 4-0. I never feel confident with this team. However, when I saw that reaction and the celebration after Larkin's overtime goal, I mean, this team wants the playoffs more than they want to breathe at the moment. They're just so inconsistent. They give up too many goals. They should beat Montreal with what's on the line, but it's just too expensive. You can't do the regulation. I don't trust the minus one. So, I mean, if Montreal takes an early lead, I'll be looking to back Detroit. But if this total gets at six or lower, I'm going to take a shot with it. I don't know why I'm not confident with the 6.5, but if we can get a 6 or 5.5 live, I'm definitely taking a shot with the over.
Oh yeah. I've got pregame pre-flop over 6.5, but I will add an over 5.5 or better if it ever shows up at some point during the game. With the Habs and the Red Wings tonight. As far as props, this is a good prop game. Slefkovský, red hot still for Montreal. Worth a look the way he's been playing, obviously, for them down the stretch, still on that top line with Suzuki and Caulfield. Definitely consider Newhook and Armia. And someone in the chat mentioned Mike Matheson for Montreal. There's no doubt he's on a 6-game point streak. He has multiple points in 4 of those 6 games as well. So he has been absolutely on fire for it's a 7-game point streak now, and he has multiple points in 4 of the 7. So not only Mike Matheson points, sprinkle on that over 1.5. I agree. And I'm doing it because he was a great decorated defenseman. He's going to be a good one, I think, in the NHL, making his debut after signing the college contract the other day. Lane Hudson out of the Boston University Terriers, now joining this Montreal team. Why not? First goal. You know, we're seeing this shit with the guy that from college coming up and scoring his first goal in his first game. It's amazing. Frank Nazar last night for the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, I know Hudson's a defenseman, but he's an offensive-minded defenseman. He's always been that way. He's going to be excited, not only first game in the NHL, but for a team like the Montreal Canadiens. So I just get that feeling that, you know, we've seen this now a couple of occasions. Saw it with Sam Colangelo for Anaheim, first NHL game, scored the goal for them as well. So, you know, it's very possible this can happen. So as far as taking a shot here with Lane Hudson props here in this game, I think it's definitely worth a look here. No question as far as his props. I'm just trying to bring up the current prices with that. But like I said, you're going to see him in the lineup. He's going to be, I think, on the second pair as well tonight. Let me see, plus 750, 790 at Bet99. So why not? A couple of bucks on that. Lane Hudson in his NHL debut for the Montreal Canadiens. All right, next up, we've got the Ottawa Senators taking, and by the way, Larkin for Detroit. Raymond for Detroit as well for props. They have been heating. Larkin's been great. Raymond's starting to heat up right now. Maybe DeBrincat. DeBrincat had a great game against Toronto. So those are the three Detroit players I would target. Andrew Copp, by the way. I mentioned how Detroit struggled defensively. Part of that has been missing Andrew Copp the last few games. He's a game-time decision for tonight, so he might return. He's a big defensive presence at the center ice spot, so we'll see if Andrew Copp is able to return here tonight for the Detroit Red Wings. That would be a huge help to them, certainly, especially defensively. Ottawa Senators, New York Rangers next up. Rangers minus 240, home favorites, 6 the total. Very simple equation for the Rangers. Win and they clinch the Metropolitan Division, and it can be a win in any fashion tonight. Regulation, overtime, shootout. 2 points gets them the division title here tonight against Ottawa. Of course, Ottawa had their final home game. Now they go on the road to finish off the string. I think the Rangers get it done, but you know, minus 240 is not exactly a price I'm excited about with this team tonight. But the team total, you know, I might eye that as something that might be. Yeah, I'll take that against who? Korpisalo for the Ottawa Senators, who's confirmed in net tonight for this game. Yeah, I'll take a little over 3.5 here, minus 125 or so with the New York Rangers team total. A little sprinkle on the over bifecta as well. But the prop, the thing I really like even more than all of that, more than the Rangers team total, more than the over bifecta, it is Artemi Panarin, 48 goals, two away from 50. He wants 50. He's been shooting the puck quite a bit. Artemi Panarin over shots on goal ladder. Consider it tonight. He's trying to get 50 goals, two away from that mark. He's got 48 going into tonight. He wants to get to 50. To a brilliant season, obviously, 118 points, but 50 goals as well for a guy that's known even more so as a playmaker. What an accomplishment that would be for the bread man, Artemi Panarin, as Alex B. Smith just thinks in his head, what the hell did Chicago thinking years ago, giving up on that guy and putting together a season like this. But yeah, I think he's got a great chance to get to 50. You know, do we trust Ottawa defensively on the road against this Rangers team trying to win the division? No. So I think it's a great chance to take a shot here with the over 1.5 goals tonight on Artemi Panarin, which you'll get at a pretty nice price here in this game. And also, of course, the shots on goal ladder for the bread man, because I think he's going to be firing away. It's a Wyatt Earp night, as I like to say, for Artemi Panarin, in my opinion. Alex, what do you think here? Senators, Rangers.
Yeah, I hope a hair falls in the drink of Stan Bowman, wherever he is right now, because of that trade. I get pissed off about it just every now and then throughout a given year. Just absolutely asinine. But Rangers, I'm hoping they lose this game because I still have a plus 400 ticket alive on Carolina to win the division, but probably not going to happen. So the only thing I'm going to be rolling here is the two goals plus 800 with Artemi Panarin. I think they said they're going to be feeding in the puck, and he should be able to get two here. Maybe a little sprinkle on him to be the last goal scorer as well in this spot. But that's just what I'm looking at. Panarin props only here within this contest.
Like I say, the Rangers team total over, the over bifecta, I like it in this game. But I think I like even the Panarin stuff even more. The goal prop to get two or more, and also the shots on goal. I like the latter too, because these players that are trying to get these milestone goal numbers, I mean, it's amazing how much they've got that more willingness to shoot the puck. And definitely you saw it with Matthews on Saturday against Detroit for Toronto. And I have a feeling you could see it here tonight with Artemi Panarin as well. Yeah, Zibanejad against his old team, Russell Deck in the chat saying, yeah, he used to be with Ottawa. That's an angle that we talk about. So maybe he has a point night as well and gets on the board and makes an impact. Brett, what do you think here, Senators, Rangers?
Yeah, the only thing I have here is the Rangers first period puck line. I think with the notion of them clinching first in the East and locking up essentially their playoff matchup against whichever the last standing of these wild card playoff teams is, I think they'll come out hot. Ottawa is a very slow starting team to begin with. So I'm going to take a shot with a small play on the Rangers in the first period, plus 130 puck line.
And this is, by the way, this is it for the Rangers as far as their regular season schedule is concerned. So this is their last game, and here we go. And so this is it for Panarin. This is legitimately his last chance, obviously, as well, to get to that 50-goal plateau. What do you think here, Mikey? Ottawa, New York.
Yeah, not to repeat how awful that trade was, but they did get Brandon Saad and Anton Forsberg. I mean, quite possibly the worst trade of all time.
Ironically, now with the Ottawa Senators.
Right, exactly.
The Rangers are playing tonight. Yeah.
Just crazy. If I'm not mistaken, they can actually clinch the President's Trophy and the division tonight with the 2 points, because they'll be they're a couple points. They're only 1 point ahead of Carolina, but Carolina's got one more. So if Rangers get two tonight, they're at 114. So President's Trophy on the line as well. I wish this wasn't the scenario and that the Rangers had already clinched, because this is such a nice price on Ottawa, plus 195. They're playing stress-free hockey. I just don't want to step in front of what the Rangers can accomplish tonight. The price is a little bit high for the Rangers, and it's hard to trust this team on the puck line or regulation lately. Six out of the Rangers' last seven wins was by just one goal. Maybe we get one of those scenarios where Ottawa comes out playing well, takes a goal or two lead, and then you can bet the Rangers live because they've been so good coming back from behind. It can happen. Rangers have been a little slow in the first period. Ottawa is still interested in playing spoiler and making it harder on teams, so it's not out of the question. Ottawa could take an early lead, but too much on the line for the Rangers. You have a no-nonsense guy like Laviolette behind the bench. It could easily be a 60-minute business-like game for the Rangers. I feel like I'm all over the place with this one, so unless something comes up live, I'm just going to stay away.
All right, pass for Mikey with the Senators and the Rangers. Yeah, I'm looking at Artemi Panarin's shots on goal recently at MSG. 4, 4, 5, 8. He had 8 shots on goal. Boy, I'd love one of those tonight. 8 shots on goal like he had against New Jersey. We're going to cash some steps on that ladder. You know, step by step, rung by rung, climbing Artemi's ladder. There we go. That's a little Huey Lewis there from the 80s. Yeah. Not Jacob's ladder tonight, Artemi's ladder. Here we go, step by step, rung by rung. Climb that shots on goal ladder for us tonight for Artemi Panarin and his quest for 50 goals. All right, Minnesota, Los Angeles, minus 165, home favorites, 5.5 the total here in this game. So kind of think Minnesota's kind of a team that's just looking to get the season over with. I know they beat San Jose, and they look pretty damn good in that game as well, 6-2. But how much of that was bad San Jose when you look at it? I think that definitely had a hand in just why Minnesota was pretty damn good in that game. And now they go back to Philip Gustafson. And the only fear I have of betting against Minnesota right now is when we see the young phenom, the Swedish phenom, Jesper Wallstedt, who's actually played very well his last two starts against Chicago and San Jose. He got the victories for Minnesota in both of those games. But now they go back to Gustafson here tonight against L.A. You look at where this L.A. Kings team is in the standings right now. I think when you, from an L.A. standpoint, you know, it's get our game in gear, 97 points. We're right now in a spot where we're trying to maintain that spot over Vegas, because Vegas can still jump them for third in the Pacific Division right now. And look, they play Edmonton right now. If they stay in the third spot in the Pacific Division. So is that something they want? Do they want to take their shot again with Edmonton, knowing they've lost 2 years in a row to the Edmonton Oilers in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs? We'll have to wait and see. But one thing I do know is the Kings have been just absolutely terrific at home. They basically ended the season totally reversal of how they started the season, where they sucked at home and they never lost on the road. Now they're kind of meh on the road and they can't lose at home now. You know, that's the way it's been for this L.A. Kings team of late. I did have a small bet here on L.A. in regulation. I know there's that little conspiracy theorist out there that, hey, don't maybe avoid Edmonton in that first round series. But I don't know if they think that way. They're playing good at home, and I don't know if Minnesota is going to be ramped up for this game. So for me, it's L.A. in regulation. Again, though, not best bet material either. What do you think here, Alex? Wild Kings.
Yeah, I took just small shots on first period over, full game over. These were better prices. I got -$1.10. That was actually overnight last night, and -$1.15 on the first period over. I can see where this is just kind of a roll the puck out and maybe get some goals here, especially for LA. Like I said, they're just trying to sharpen the sword before the playoffs get ready. And like I said, we saw Minnesota get their offense rolling. So I think there's some guys who are going to be just kind of more playing for themselves than anything else, just kind of trying to bump their numbers up. And 5.5 price, these cheap prices, I think it's worth looking at. But definitely wouldn't be, like I said, siding with anything Minnesota or you know, even a team total. This could, if LA could make this one sided, still be able to get this, you know, full game and first period over by themselves.
Yeah, I agree with looking at Akil Thomas again, but I like Fiala especially tonight against his former team, the Minnesota Wild. I think, yeah, his props are going to be worth a look. L.A. finishes the season against Alex's Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday night. That's going to be their final regular season game. And, yeah, this home win streak for L.A., like I said, I'm not kidding about how well they have played on home ice. Right now, this Kings team enters the night on a 5-6-7-8-9-10 11 game home win streak entering the night for the Los Angeles Kings and trying to make it 12 in a row on home ice. What do you think here, Brett, Minnesota, LA?
Yep, with that home win streak, LA's on. And then if you look at Minnesota, right, they're beating the bad teams, losing to playoff teams. And not only losing to playoff teams, giving up 7, giving up 5, giving up 4, giving up 5, they're getting smoked. They ain't blocking any shots these days, Minnesota. So I'm on LA puck line plus 150 and the LA team total over 3.5 at plus 135.
All right, there we go.
Also the over, like
and the over. All right, at 5.5. And yeah, this could be a night too where for the Kings, who are normally a team that can lock it down defensively, second to last game, minimal stakes on the line. It does open the door maybe for a little bit more of a track meet than it otherwise would be. What do you think here in this one, Mikey? Minnesota, LA.
Yeah, I believe Kopitar is doubtful though, right? I just read that.
Kopitar is indeed, yes, a game time decision. But right now, I think the way they're talking is they might be cautious with him and he may not go.
Undisclosed injury. But anyways, LA just blanked Minnesota a couple weeks ago, 6-0. They played again back in October. So they've 13-3 outscored Minnesota this season. It's LA or pass. Probably have to bring it down to minus one to lessen the juice or take a shot in regulation. I don't see this game going to overtime. Another team in LA that can remain third in the division or drop down to the last wild card spot and face Dallas. So very, very tough. Nothing locked in, but I'd only be looking at LA in this one.
Oh, by the way, it's a nine game home win streak for LA right now. They're going for 10 tonight, so we got the number wrong. It's 9-game home win streak. They're going for number 10 here tonight against the Minnesota Wild. All right, final game of this Monday night NHL card. It is the San Jose Sharks taking on the Edmonton Oilers, and look at this monster of a number with the Oilers as home favorites here in this game. And keep in mind, this is coming off a game that, you know, basically they can't win the Pacific Division anymore. And yet here they are, minus 550 home favorites here over the San Jose Sharks. The total in this game, 6, shaded to the over pretty much across the board here in this game. Of course, for Edmonton, you look at where they sit. They are basically pretty much second place, locked in. So there is question marks about what's on the line, what's at stake, what's their reason to go balls to the wall for if you're Edmonton. But there is something that they might be excited about, and that's the return of Connor McDavid, who, by the way, you would think, you know what, he missed the game against Vancouver. You know, you were cautious with him, but you could easily rest him tonight too because you're locked into second. But McDavid wants to, you know, further his own case for the Hart Trophy at this point. He wants to get games in down the stretch. He's already probably says to Chris Knobloch, hey, I've missed a couple games. I don't want to go into the playoffs ice cold, you know, and sitting all this time. So he's going to get back in tonight and return for the Edmonton Oilers after missing the last 3 games. McDavid's back for Edmonton here tonight. Devin Cooley will get the start for San Jose. And the last time we saw him against Seattle, he was absolutely magnificent. 50 shots faced and steals 2 points for the San Jose Sharks at home against Seattle, or sorry, on the road, I should say, in Seattle. But can he do that now against this much more potent offensive team that the Oilers can throw at them? That's going to be the big question here. You know, the fact that McDavid's playing tonight in this game for the Edmonton Oilers tells me that they're invested, you know, a little bit in this game. And if McDavid, you know, is there, the troops will follow. They finish the season on the road after this with a back-to-back in Arizona and Colorado later this week. So to me, this is that final. It's, again, they're going to the playoffs, but, you know, McDavid's back. It is your final regular season home game. You go out there and you win, I think, if you're Edmonton. You just go out, get the job done. It's not like even if you're at half speed and half heart motivation-wise, you could probably still beat this San Jose team. Unless Cooley's going to be Devin Brodeur again, like he was the other night. We'll see, but it's going to be obviously a lot tougher for him to be that way. So, you know, this is going to be small bets here because there is that onus of, hey, we're locked into our position here with Edmonton. But I'm going to go with here in this one, a small first period puck line, minus 110 here in this game. And also going to grab those Edmonton first period, you know, basically what I did with Colorado with Edmonton here in the first period. We'll go Edmonton team total over one and Edmonton team total over 1.5, a first period team total split for me, much like I did with Colorado. Now, look, from a situational and motivation standpoint, I liked it a lot more with Colorado yesterday because they got embarrassed. You figured they were going to start strong, come out firing. They did. They ended up blowing the game, but the start that I was banking on did occur from the Colorado Avalanche yesterday. And I think you get that here with Edmonton, you know, with McDavid back, you know, come out, you know, strong. I don't think they love their game against Vancouver. I don't think they want to go in losing totally either, especially when it's your final regular season home game like this against a team like the San Jose Sharks. So, yeah, the Edmonton team totals in the first period, over one, minus 140, over 1.5, plus 155 at BetMGM. We're going to sprinkle on both of those as well. What do you think here in this one, Alex? San Jose, Edmonton.
This is just going to be a pass for me. It's a big card tonight. There's a couple plays that I really, really love. So, you know, these prices are through the roof for a reason. And even with McDavid, you try to look for him, you know, two assists, I'm seeing plus 125. So everybody in the world is already betting on him to at least get one assist, 1 point, 2 points. So you got to try and be creative with that. So if maybe you tie in, you know, him with some different parlays or other looks tonight. I know there's other player prop parlays people are talking about in the chat. So maybe you just throw, you know, McDavid assist in with something if you like, you know, Kucherov to get points or if you like Panarin to get those two goals tonight. That's probably the only way to kind of attack this. But as far as a standalone game, it's a pass.
Don't look now, but look who's also moved up to the top line tonight with Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman, Adam Henrique. So there we go. We've got our perfect classic value player prop scenario tonight with Adam Henrique for the Edmonton Oilers playing alongside Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman on that top line. So you can get Henrique plus 300 at Pinnacle, 290 at DraftKings to get a goal, a very healthy plus 230 to get an assist. And then the point prop for Henrique is only plus 115, you know, at BetMGM, and he's on the top line. And you could even go one step further, maybe try an over 1.5 points with Henrique. I mean, over 1.5 points with McDavid, you have to lay a price. Adam Henrique, his line mate tonight, you're going to get one hell of a nice plus price for him to go over 1.5 points. And certainly he's got that chance when he's playing with, you know, the two guys that have been the best players on the team, especially down the stretch here, Zach Hyman and Connor McDavid. What is that over 1.5 points for Henrique? Plus 450 at Bet365. So really good price. That's worth a few bucks at least, no doubt. What do you think here, Brett, San Jose, Edmonton?
Yeah, like Alex, this is going to be a full pass for me. I just don't see the much value on anything with these prices the way they are.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, Russell, my head is doing a prop spin right now. I've got to lay down. Yeah, a lot of props. This is the way it is, these final few games. You got milestones. You've got unique situations, situations that you just don't bet for the most part year-round. You get these late milestone nights, and you know the player wants it. He's going to try for it, and it opens the door for some just tremendous opportunities when it comes to player props. Mikey, what do you think here, Sharks Oilers?
Yeah, like everyone said, the price is just minus 500. You can't do anything with that. McDavid at 99 assists. To get one, it's too expensive. You'll have to go over -1.5 at plus 150. But like you guys said, you'll have to get either you take the two assists at plus 150 or you get creative and parlay it with a Larkin point or a Josi point or a Forsberg point. Whatever you want to do, but nothing locked in, just too expensive.
If you're going to look at anyone for San Jose, I've given up a little bit on Colin Graf. He hasn't done a whole lot since they called him up, from put him in the lineup from Quinnipiac, but certainly Zetterlund and even more so Eklund for San Jose. They have been pretty solid here, at least at the offensive end here in recent games. And like I said, Devin Cooley in net for the Sharks, and we do project Skinner. Stuart Skinner for the Edmonton Oilers here in this one. All right, great stuff. What a great show. We thank Brett, who's with us every Monday for the most part, and of course Mikey for joining us here on this Monday show as well. A great show, great discussion. Looking forward to this slate a lot. So much importance with so many of the games tonight in the NHL, and we're also looking forward to tomorrow, where we have our first Patreon-exclusive live betcast of the month of April coming your way, and there's the schedule of live betcasts for the rest of the month, including our Patreon exclusive live betcast tomorrow night, Tuesday, April 16th, 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, our last betcast of the regular season. So make sure you join us tomorrow night sign up at Patreon to make sure you are a part of that betcast tomorrow night. And then, of course, three Stanley Cup playoff betcasts starting next week as the playoffs are here. Monday, April 22nd, free-for-all betcast. Thursday, April 25th, Patreon exclusive. And Tuesday, April 30th, also Patreon exclusive. So there you have it. Four more betcasts left, three of them playoff betcasts in the month of April. And for the Patreon exclusive betcast, including tomorrow night's betcast, sign up for just $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. You get our daily sides, totals, and player props posted on the page each and every day, goalie charts, totals charts, and more bonus content, plus that exclusive access to all our Patreon exclusive live betcasts. So sign up now. This is the week to do it. Get in there and get on board before the playoffs begin. Patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And also check out the Ice Guys store. Deals available right now for that, for our great gear and merch over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yes, you have until midnight tonight Eastern. Midnight Eastern to get free standard shipping on all your orders. So definitely want to put things in your cart right now and make sure you check out before midnight. Get that free standard shipping. And you should have that just in time for right at the beginning of the start of the playoffs. So you get all of our merch. We got everything in stock right now, and that's over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right, great stuff. It is a bargain bin special of the night and best bet time coming up in just a moment. But first, as always, we'll hear from our great daily sponsors, our friends at Boston Hemp Inc. All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out and get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. I have an encore to follow after hitting with Josh Doan for the Arizona Coyotes last night at plus 450. We'll see if we can come up with another bargain bin in the win column for this Monday night. Alex, we'll start with you. What do you like tonight for the bargain bin special?
Yeah, I passed last night, and I said I had one lined up, and I actually did bet this late last night. Looking at the Pittsburgh-Nashville game, we've talked about it all year long. The man who's carried this team on his back to even get to the point where they're even trying to play for another playoff spot is Sidney Crosby. I like him to get things rocking and rolling early, so I'm going with him to score the first goal. I got it plus 1,000. You can now get plus 1,100 over at FanDuel, so that is going to be my bargain bin special. Sidney Crosby gets the first goal of the game for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Plus 1,100.
All right, Sidney Crosby, Pittsburgh Penguins, the first goal of the game, upwards of 11-1 with that for Alex with his bargain bin special of the night. Brett, what do you got for your bargain bin here tonight?
I'm going with that same game as Alex. As he said, Sidney Crosby putting the team on his back. I expect this game to be a track meet. I'm going to go with Crosby's line mate, Drew O'Connor, to score a goal, plus 410 at FanDuel.
That's another really good choice. I'm on that as well. Drew O'Connor, Pittsburgh Penguins, plus 410 for Brett Skalski's bargain bin special of the night for this Monday night. Mikey, how about you? What do you like in the bargain bin? Oh, you're muted. All right. I actually don't know if you're muted. I see the mute symbol's not there. Uh-oh. Try exiting and coming back in, Mikey. That sometimes does the trick. There we go. Yeah. Live television, folks, or in this case, live YouTube. What can you do? By the way, I couldn't believe how much I enjoyed. We'll kill some time with this little story. I could not believe how much I enjoyed this Billy Joel concert last night. Honestly, I mean, it was one of the few things like I was watching, and it's like it was a light night. I saw CBS is showing Billy Joel here at Madison Square. We'll pop it on. His backup band's fucking incredible.
Yeah,
you know, and look, Billy Joel's lost some, you know, strength in his voice. He's 74 years old. We all would, you know, at that age. But but he still puts on a good show. Gives it his all, but more importantly, that band that he had with him was just outstanding. The saxophonist, the female vocalist, the guitar guy, the drummer was outstanding. It was a pre-taped concert. ISX. It was his 100th show at his Madison Square Garden residency. I think it was last month or 2 months that it took place, the 100th show, and they decided we're going to record it for television and put it on a primetime special. And it was last night that it aired. So,
and it will re-air again because it'll re-air again because there were issues here in the States with certain networks that abruptly cut to some other programming or whatever. So I just read a thing that they're going to be showing that again for those who haven't seen it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. No, I think his catalog is actually pretty good. All around the stuff in the 70s and the 80s were his big hits. Like the funny thing is, they hit Piano Man, and he played, you know, My Life, and he played You May Be Wrong, But You May Be Right. I mean, he hit all the big ones. It's Still Rock and Roll to Me. You know, he got through a lot of the scenes in an Italian restaurant. I mean, it was a good array of songs, and yet he still didn't even get to all of them. Either that or they didn't show the entire concert, which to me might have been the case because they only had a 2-hour window plus a shit ton of commercials, by the way. It was ridiculous. They like played a commercial break after every song. Holy goodness. There's no way that could have been the whole concert. No way at all. There's no Uptown Girl, at least on the television special last night. No Uptown Girl. No We Didn't Start the Fire. Pressure. You know, there were still a bunch of them that he didn't hit. Or at least was not on the television special last night. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a fun way to spend a Sunday night with not a whole lot going on in the sports world. Mikey is back with us. Mikey, your bargain bin special. What do you like?
Sorry about that. Are we good now?
Yeah. Good.
All right, cool. All right, Zaka, 2 points plus 390. So he's 2 points away from 60 on the season. He has 11 points in his last 8 games. PP1 with Pasta, Heinen, Maroon, and Shaddy. Top line tonight with Heinen and Pasta. Jim Montgomery talked about them needing more pace and purpose on their power play. PP1 for him. So we'll see if he can get 2 points, get 60 on the season. So Zaka, 2 points plus 390.
All right. You picked a good player because he is feeling it right now for the Bruins. No question. Pavel Zaka. Boston Bruins over 1.5 points plus 390 for Mikey with his bargain bin special of the night. All right, best bets. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Everybody in the world should know what the best bet is. 21-5 run for the Tampa Bay Lightning. 10 straight first period overs between the Lightning and the Sabres. 16-3 the last 19 meetings. And you can get this thing as cheap as $1.20, $1.25. Give me Bolts Sabres first period over. It's my Monday best bet.
All right, there it is. Buffalo, Tampa Bay. Over 1.5, as low as minus 120 in that first period for Alex B. Smith with his best bet. Brett Skalski, what do you like here, best bet?
I think there's a significant difference in motivation and desperation between the Islanders and the Devils. Might not be easy, but I think at the end of the day, Islanders will get the 2 points, so I'm going to take them to beat the New Jersey Devils.
All right, there it is. I like it there. New York Islanders, minus 115 to minus 120 against the New Jersey Devils. Best bet for Brett Skalski. Mikey, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, I'm with Brett. Islanders money line, minus 110. It's pretty much hard to sweep the same team in your division all season. I mean, if New Jersey wins for the fourth time against the Islanders this year, so be it. I don't think it's going to happen. Islanders money line, minus 110 for best bet.
All right, there we go. New York Islanders money line for Mikey there. Minus 110 is what he got. Still minus 115, minus 120 readily available.
Still good. So yeah.
Still a pretty good price there if you like the Islanders in that game. My best bet, we're going to go to Pittsburgh. We're not touching the side, though. We're going to expect goals. I think Nashville scores against a Pittsburgh defense that's still very suspect. Goaltending from Alex Nedeljkovic, where the last few games, it's been a steep decline, steep downturn. I think he's fatigued. He's hit the wall a little bit, very, very much struggling compared to what he was doing when he first took over as the number one goalie, because they started 5-0-1 in his first six starts that he took over in net. And the last few games, it's been rough. 15 goals allowed in his last four games combined. So I think Nashville gets on the board and scores a few tonight. And I certainly think Pittsburgh can return fire. Offense hasn't been the issue for the Pittsburgh Penguins of late. I think we can get up and over that total. Nashville-Pittsburgh over 6, minus 115 for my best bet here for this Monday NHL card. That'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Hit the like button on the way out. We appreciate it very much. What a huge day tomorrow. Alex will not be on the Daily Show tomorrow, so it'll be just Matty Robinson and I, but he will be ready to rock for the Patreon-exclusive live betcast tomorrow night, and we hope all of you are ready to rock for the Patreon-exclusive live betcast. Again, sign up, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. That's your only way and your only ticket into the venue, so to speak, for the Ice Guys live betcast tomorrow night. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. And if you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. Great show today from Alex B. Smith, Brett Skalski, and Mikey. I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Monday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we're back with you tomorrow on Tuesday for a big day here on the Ice Guys.